Immigration Showdown.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The Senate will likely pass its version of the immigration bill today, and that sets up a battle with the House. The two bills are so different, this could be a long, ugly fight. Hillary Wickay takes a look.
The Senate bill provides illegal immigrants the possibility of citizenship based on the number of years they've been in the country. House conservatives say that smacks of amnesty. William Fry at the Brookings Institution says at best there's a 50-50 chance the House and Senate can find middle ground and get an immigration package to the president before November elections.
This is a punitive bill with a capital P. It's all about enforcement of the law, building a 700-mile fence, having very stiff penalties against employers who try to employ illegal immigrants.
The House bill also makes illegal aliens and the people who help them felons. John Keeley with the Center for Immigration Studies says there's little hope to bridge the gap.
I think the next move would be for the electorate to render a verdict. Who do they think is best representing their interests on immigration, the House of Representatives or the United States Senate?
A couple of compromise proposals have already been floated, including one that calls for all of the estimated 12 million illegal immigrants to leave the country to secure a guest worker visa. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
A lot of workers at GM seem to like the idea of getting bought out. So far, more than 20,000 employees have signed up for the buyout program, and there's still a month left to take the money and run. GM's trying to shoo as many people out the door as possible so it can start closing factories and cut labor costs. The company's stock rose 8% yesterday. One of GM's partners is due back in bankruptcy court tomorrow. Delphi wants a judge to void its contracts with the United Auto Workers, but the UAW is threatening to strike if that happens. GM wants more time to get all this resolved because, as Elisa Roth tells us, the dominoes would start falling.
The United Auto Workers strike could shut down Delphi. Delphi is one of GM's biggest suppliers, so a shutdown there could also close GM. And two major shutdowns could leave auto workers without jobs. John Hinckley is president of the consulting group Planning Perspectives. He says GM is trying to buy time.
This is something where people on both sides have got to walk very, very carefully. I mean, it is a very dense minefield that they're walking through. The wrong move can end up being catastrophic for virtually all parties.
GM has been trying to help Delphi and the UAW come to an agreement on wages and benefits. Hinckley says he assumes there are high-level talks going on behind the scenes, but UAW elections are next month, and Hinckley says politics may make it impossible to reach an agreement before then. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez is upset about a video game coming out next year, the storyline of Mercenaries 2, World in Flames. The U.S. invades Venezuela to overthrow a power-hungry tyrant. Chavez says the game is part of an attempt to drum up support for his ouster. The company that makes it says the game is not making a political statement about Chavez. Wall Street feels like dancing. Yeah. The Dow closed up 19 points to 11,117. The NASDAQ climbed 10 to 2169. The S&P 500 inched up 2 points to 1258. This is Marketplace. A census report out today says more of us are loners, as in we live alone. Marketplace's Jane Lindholm looks at the economic implications.
The census data shows 26% of Americans now live alone, compared with 17% in 1970, and the number of households with five or more people in them has been cut in half. Hans Johnson, a demographer at the Public Policy Institute of California, says one reason for the shift is that our current level of prosperity gives us more options.
Certainly, as the United States has become wealthier and as individuals have more resources, more people choose to live alone.
But Johnson cautions not to read too much into the data. A rise in divorce levels and an increase in life expectancy also contribute to higher numbers of solo Americans. And he says that with property values currently so high, that percentage may now be in decline. In Los Angeles, I'm Jane Lindholm for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters. The facts without spin, as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. A new report says the American middle class is drowning in debt. The Center for American Progress says debt increased 30% in a recent three-year period. It now makes up 108% of incomes. Yes, you heard me right. But as Chris Farrell tells us, it's not because people are splurging on big-screen TVs and exotic vacations.
The study, Drowning in Debt, makes a convincing case that the reason why the middle class is in debt, one, buy a home, two, send your kids to college. Those are the two big reasons. So the good news is we're not in debt because we're shopping at the mall. Bad news is we are taking on more and more debt in order to have a middle-class lifestyle, which I think the two pillars are own your own home and have a college education.
So if housing and college tuition are taking a bigger and bigger chunk of that middle-class income, is that middle-class lifestyle under threat?
Part of what's happening, and the report makes very clear, we've been taking on a lot of debt at the same time that incomes, 2001, 2004, have been stagnant. And we all know this. Question is that a long-term trend, in which case we're taking out debt to try and still maintain our middle-class lifestyle, even though we know at the back of our mind that we're never going to make the kind of income to justify the debt we're taking on? Or, hey, incomes were stagnant for a longer period of time than we thought, but we're making these investments, and that's the key. These are investments. Owning your own home is an investment. A college education is an investment, and they're going to pay off with time. And the debt burden is going to ease because we're going to earn increased income. I'm in the camp that says, I think we're now seeing a turn in incomes.
But is that debt load actually going to decrease? Because take a look at interest rates. They're going up and up and up.
Well, that's the real concern that this report is saying, that interest rates are going to go up. And boy, I tell you, it's a safe forecast. Those people who took out interest-only mortgages, a lot of them are going to be in trouble. Anyone who put less than 10% down payment to own their own home, you know, they're going to have a financial squeeze on them. The real question is that going to be the bulk of people, or is it going to be the percentage of the market that really stretched toward the end with the interest-only mortgage and the adjustable rate mortgage, and that they bought a bigger house than they needed to? I think those people are going to be squeezed. I don't think there's any question about that. Where I have some skepticism is that the middle class overall is drowning in debt, and that as the middle class falls deeper and deeper into debt, that there's a financial crisis brewing. At that point, that's where I retreat.
Okay, Chris, thanks for your thoughts.
Thank you.
Chris Farrell is the Marketplace economics correspondent. Your thoughts? Log on to marketplace.org and zip us an email. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
Human trafficking is big business.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.